Father, we thank you. Father, I am humbled today. God, this has been an incredible couple of weeks, Lord. And Father, you are making yourself more known to me. And Father, I know this morning, even before I came, God, you were doing something deep within my heart. And Father, I kept confessing to you, Jesus, especially during this season, I don't want to allow anything to distance me from you. I don't want my busyness. I don't want my preparation. I don't want my family time, even going away to East Bridgewater for Christmas. I don't want the busyness of the season. I don't want anything, Lord, to distance me from you. And Father, my prayer was today as I was just worshiping you at home before I came, that Lord, not only do I want not absolutely anything to distance me from you, I don't want anything to distance this church from you. Father, I don't want a lack of love on our part. Lord, I want us to be the most loving congregation that cares, that preaches and teaches the Word of God in this valley and beyond. And there are great churches here, and we're not trying to compare or anything like that. Father, if one soul is lost during this Christmas season, then we need to go out of our way to share love and to share friendship with them. Father, I pray today that any distractions would Lord, be torn down in the name of Jesus. I believe, Lord, this is a rhema word for me today, and I just want to share it with the congregation, that we must not let anything distance us from Jesus during this Christmas season. Right now, arrest and accost our attention. Some of us are thinking that we have so much to do, we got to bake. We haven't even begun wrapping yet. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And Father, the hurrier we go, the behinder we get. And I pray, Holy Spirit, arrest us today. Accost us, Holy Spirit. I pray that the river of healing would flow from this place. I pray in the name of Jesus that the prophetic word would come forth and it would find a lodging place within the hearts. To think that the religious order of the day, the people that were educated, sometimes even beyond their intelligence, they missed Jesus by 6 miles. They stayed in Jerusalem and didn't visit Bethlehem. So close, but so far. And Father, I pray for those who are wrapped around the religious cloak. Because I'm this and because I'm that, that's going to get me into the kingdom. The only way we're going to get into your kingdom is by accepting your Son, the babe of Bethlehem, the Savior of the world, and truly be repentative of our sin and to forsake them and then to emulate Jesus. Oh, Father, you are the Word. Let it go forth in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to entitle my message this morning, Don't Let Anything Distance You from Jesus. Private Alexandra DeGray, stand, please. I have a question for you, Private. How long does it take you to walk 6 miles? I can't hear you. How long? Give us a time period that you think it would, that you and your platoon or whatever they're called could walk 6 miles. Just a guesstimation. My Father God, you may be seated. I have a word for you today. As I was preparing, I was sitting in my chair. God spoke this so crystal clear to me. He said, Lexi, tell Lexi, don't let your roommate distance you from Jesus. Nobody else has to know that. I'm just the delivery boy today. And we must not let anything distance us from Jesus. I can tell you right now, this preacher cannot walk 6 miles in a half hour. But we need to realize that that's what separated the religious elite, the educated elite, from seeing Jesus. If you know your geography, A little bit of history. Jerusalem to Bethlehem is 6 miles. Now I know, I've never heard Lexi talk so much in all of my life, telling us all about boot camp, and then to boot saying she loved it and she would do it again. I got one word for that. No, I won't use it. But I want to tell you what, right now, we've allowed in our lives and in our church and in Christendom at large, we've allowed certain things to distance us from Jesus. We've allowed pain to distance us from Jesus. We've allowed agitation to distance us from Jesus. We've allowed disappointments to distance us from Jesus. You name it, put it in the slot. We've allowed these things to distance us from Jesus. So if you're in good shape, we understand our sister's in the best of shape, but if you're in good shape, we could probably walk 6 miles in about 2 hours. Providing that the terrain is level, providing that the situation is good, and you know what? In real essence, even myself now, in the condition I'm in, that should not be much of a hike. Not if we really want something. Not if we really put our mind to something. Nothing will deter us. You see, no distance, hell, nothing can separate us and distance us from the Lord. So that's my message to you today. Do not allow anything to distance you from Jesus during this Christmas season and beyond. That being the case, you know, we could do that in an afternoon. That's doable. If you and I wanted to walk from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, it would be only 6 miles, and you and I could start in the morning and we could arrive in the afternoon. We could do that. We could do that. Matter of fact, we could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Can I get a witness? Now, they tell me I've been very close. I've not been like some of the folk just recently that have had a chance to go to Israel. And we thank God for those that were able to do it just recently. But if we think about Bethlehem and we think about Jerusalem and we think about the Holy Land, Israel is very tiny compared to the United States of America. The whole country is about 8,500 square miles. That is roughly the size of New Jersey. Roughly the size of New Jersey, and only a little bit smaller than Vermont. So if we were to go from Dan in the north to Bathsheba in the south, that would be approximately 150 miles. If you and I had the opportunity, like Don and Lynn just recently, we could rise in the morning and we could be in Caesarea on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, and we could end up on the Sea of Galilee by evening. Think of that, by evening. And in between, we could even visit Mount Carmel. We could visit Megiddo. We could visit Nazareth, and we could visit Cana. You see, I'm here to tell you that in Christ, it is doable. That in Christ, we must not let everything or anyone crowd us away from the Christ child. We should not let our busyness do that. We should not let anything separate us. So as visitors to the Holy Land, we realize it that in the land of the Bible, the most key events that took place in a proximity of about 100 miles of Jerusalem. But one of the most important events took place in Bethlehem, 6 miles from Jerusalem. It also was a place, a birthplace for a famous king, King David. Remember that? And it was thought only to be 200 residents in King David's time, at this particular time of his reign or his birth in that area. 200 measly residents. But Jerusalem, if we were to go back in time, we would pass through and we would see inns and we would see beautiful homes that would house people. And this was a very busy time because I believe these houses and these inns must have been packed with pilgrims making their way from Jerusalem and to the other essential towns. Why? Luke 2, 1 through 3. To pay their taxes. Remember, required by Caesar Augustus. So the highways and the byways were packed with people. But remember, it was only 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Jerusalem and Bethlehem were next door neighbors. Bethlehem was a place that you stayed on your way to the big city. Just recently, we were in the big city of New York. Of all times during Christmas time. Hey, listen, there were only a few people, about 1 million in Times Square, Fifth Avenue. Gail held on to me and I felt like I was playing football in high school. And we paved our way through. I'm here to tell you, we need to pave our way through. We need to be persistent during this Christmas season. You can spend the night in Bethlehem and the next day, if you have enough ingenuity, and enough stability and enough stick-to-itness, you could find yourself in Jerusalem. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I'm sensing this deep in my heart. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 6. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ child should be born. So they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd his people, Israel.'" As we read this, I have a lot of questions that come to my mind. I don't know about you, but I have questions like this. Who were the Magi? I have another question. Where did they come from? How many were there? Why did they come to Jerusalem? What was the star that they saw in the east? How did they know what it meant? How did it lead them? Why did they come to worship the King of the Jews? And why was the whole city disturbed? But I want to ask a question that we're not going to find an answer to particularly in our text, or maybe the question be in our text, but it's a question in my mind. Why didn't the Jewish leaders go to Bethlehem? It was only 6 miles. Just 6 miles. 6 miles from the Christ child. Some of you are here today and you feel 1 million miles away from Jesus. You wear the cloak of religiosity, but you've never had a personal confrontation with Messiah Jesus. It's not about the assemblies of God. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not about religiosity. It's not about doing all the do's and keeping up with all the latest. You see, some of us are busy and our minds are wandering and we're thinking, I've got so much to do. But I'm here to tell you, don't miss Jesus during Christmas. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. Why did the Jewish leaders go to Bethlehem? It was only 6 miles. They were so close, but yet so far. Why is it that we get on the precipice of a miracle, we become tired and discouraged, and we let the enemy come in, and we give up? I'm here to tell you that some of you are on the brink of the greatest miracle that you would ever experience, and you've got to press in, and you've got to press on. The 6 miles are worth it. However many miles, or whatever it is that separates you from Jesus, it is not worth it. It is not worth it. I don't care what kind of price tag it comes from. It's not worth it. What's keeping us from Jesus this Christmas? What's keeping us from selling out to him? Lock, stock, and barrel. If they know Jesus was to be born there, why didn't they check it out for themselves? Why didn't these intellectual geniuses make the 6 mile trek and check out Jesus? We've got some Christians that are living in Jerusalem that have never visited Bethlehem. We love God. We kind of like tip him occasionally. We kind of like favor him once in a while, showing up for church. enemy, we'll even do good deeds. And when we see the Salvation Army, we'll slip a buck in the pot. But I have determined in my heart this Christmas season that I'm going to let nothing distance me from Jesus. Not 6 miles, not anything am I going to allow. You see, the Magi knew so little, they came so far, and they gave so much. But listen to this. The teachers of the Lord knew so much, went so near, and did so little. It must not be about us during Christmas season. It's about the babe of Bethlehem. It's about sharing His love. If you could have been in the Dodds home last night, it was a festive night. Not because seniors are rowdy, but because Jesus is real. Come on, church. We're going on a journey today. They did so little. It was a short journey. 6 miles separated them from Jesus. I want to ask you a question today, and I'm not just going to get on your case because I've not come here to preach at you. I've come here to be a part of this myself. What is it that keeps us from Jesus today? What is it? Do we like to be discouraged so that we can get attention, so everybody can come alongside us and say, woe is you? But true Christians will come alongside and they won't say that. They'll put an arm around you and say, listen, you can make it. You don't have to be down in the dumps. For heaven's sake, especially worth during Christmas. Because He is real. He is alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must not let anything separate us. Don't let anything distance you from Jesus. If you get anything from this message, get that. I want to ask you an important question today. If someone said that Jesus was coming to West Springfield, if someone said that Jesus was coming to Springfield, ho, 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 and I'm a Santa. What if somebody said Jesus is coming to Westfield? Would you make the trek? Oh, before you say yes, take inventory. I believe that there would be some who do not know Jesus Christ as a Savior. They would be inquisitive and they would go. I believe there would be some Christians that know Jesus and love the Lord and some who don't love the Lord. I believe some of them would go. But I also believe there would be some Christians that would, based upon performance, would be too busy. Hey, listen, He's not coming anyway. And could miss Him. Listen, I'm more than middle-aged now. And I've determined in my life, I've had prophetic words spoken over me that the latter years of my ministry were going to be greater than the former. And that's what I'm seizing onto. I'm not looking back. I'm grabbing a hold of Jesus. I'm not letting anything distance me from Him. I'm not letting anything distance me from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, Pastor, I wouldn't let anything distance me or separate me from Jesus. Well, Jesus is alive and He's well on planet Earth. And sometimes we're involved in a million different things, especially during this season. We love Jesus, but don't cut us off in traffic. We might cut you off permanently. If Jesus came to a nearby town, would we really go? Would we really go? It would be like the woman that word that Jesus was going to come to her house. And the day went by and she cleaned her house spotless. It was absolutely spotless. There was a knock on the door as she was cleaning. A little snotty-nosed boy came and she said, get out of here, son, I'm waiting for Jesus. Another pregnant lady came and she had no place to give birth. She didn't have any money. She said, scurry her out of here. Jesus is coming to my house. It goes on and on. The story goes. At the end of the day, she says, Jesus, why is it? Why is it? You said you were coming to my house. He said, I did. I came in the form of a snotty-nosed boy. I came in the form of a pregnant woman. But you were too busy for me. I'm here to tell you that if you're too busy during this Christmas season, you are too busy. We need to get back. We need to get out of Jerusalem and get to Bethlehem. We can summarize in 5 simple statements what the Jewish scholars knew about Jesus, knew about Yeshua HaMashiach. First of all, they knew He was going to be a Jew. They knew He would come from the tribe of Bethlehem. Thirdly, He would be a descendant of David. Fourthly, He would be born in Bethlehem. Fifth, He would be born of a virgin. They knew that. They knew that. Herod consulted the brightest and the best. Make no mistake about it. These scribes, these leaders, these intellectual geniuses, they were the brightest and they were the best. The brightest and the best. Professionally speaking, these professional students in Hebrew would memorize the Torah, which in your notes you'll see is the first five books of the Bible. Not only these professionals would not only learn that and memorize the first five books of the Bible, they would also memorize the Psalms in Hebrew. And we can't pick the Bible up. And we can't study to show ourselves approved. I want New Life to be filled with Bereans that are studying. Hallelujah. Don't let somebody else dictate your theology. Don't let someone, you make sure whoever's speaking to your life, documented by the Word of God. Make sure it matches up with Scripture. No matter whose mouth it comes out of. Make sure. Make sure. Make no mistake about it. Could you imagine? You know, I challenged some of my kids in my class if they would memorize the books of the Bible, and I believe they're up for that. They're up for that. But the best and the brightest minds of the day, they were intellectual Jesuses, but yet they like 6 miles keep them from Jesus. What are we letting keep us from Jesus? What is it that's keeping us from Jesus today? We should not allow it. I am letting nothing, no one, nothing distance me from Jesus. This morning I was going around the house and the Spirit of God just hit me so strongly about this. Pastor, if you knew the truth, why did they make the trek to Jesus? You listen, they had it prophesied by Micah 700 years prior that Yeshua was coming to town. Some of us, we know, some of us have grown up in rich heritages. Some of us have heard the truths. Some of us have walked in the way. Some of us have been so close to the Lord, but we've allowed everything else to slip in under the rug and to detain us from seeing the Messiah. I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but I know in my own life, I've allowed that to happen, and I'm not going to allow it to happen any longer. I'm not going to allow anything to distance me from Jesus. I'm not going to allow anything. So you say, Pastor, what do you think? Why was it that they allowed this short distance to keep them from Jesus? First of all, I believe their knowledge made them intellectually lazy. I believe that Christians should not be lazy. Can I get a witness? A cross!
Amen.
Thank you. You better not be sleeping, some of you seniors. Their knowledge made them intellectually lazy. What do you mean? Did you know it's possible to know too much? Have you ever met anybody like that? Hello. Maybe it's just, I've met people like that. I check out in a hurry. We can study so long. We can go to so many seminars. We can have all the books and everything, the church services. We can read all the books. We can get everything. We can do all that. And yet not sell to Jesus. You say, prove it, Pastor. 2 Timothy 3:7. Ever learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Listen, I believe why they didn't want to go that 6 miles that separated them from Jesus. I believe it was simply their knowledge made them intellectually lazy. Knowledge is good. Knowledge is good. I have a degree. You know, knowledge is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, we have to personally believe and put what we know into practice. Well, I can't share God's love, Pastor. And we certainly can't do that. We're on a dead-end street. We can't do that. We're in the wrong neighborhood. Hello? Any neighborhood to be in today is good. I had a former person that attended this church, got married, is in the Bowery of New York, ministering to drug addicts and drunks and all kinds of stuff, sharing the love of Christ. And said, Pastor, why don't you bring some of your people and come down and join us sometime? And I think we'll do that.
Amen.
But we got our own Boweries right here in our backyard. Look at the front page of our newspaper about an individual sharing part one and part two about their drug abuse, prescription drugs. People are hurting everywhere. And we're not willing to travel from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. We're too busy. We're too busy. We're too busy. It's not enough to say, I've studied religion. It's not enough to say, I know what the Hindus believe and I know what the Muslims believe. And I read and I studied and I can intellectually expound all the major denominations. Well, what about Jesus? Where is your list and my list? Do we have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus? Pastor, I'm saved. But my question is, what are we doing with our salvation? Are we hiding it, our light under a basket? We're about ready next week to unfold our vision statement for the year. Listen, if we don't plan for something, we're going to miss everything. We've got to come together with unity in this church and say we can go into all the world and preach the gospel. We can help develop people and soldiers in the Lord's army. We can do all things through Christ. I'm letting nothing separate me from God. Nothing. You see, I'm here to tell you that these scholars had just a short distance, but they let that short distance them from knowing the Messiah. I'm here to tell you it's not religion, it's relationship. It's not religion. Bible knowledge is great. Knowing all that we believe and what other people believe, it's great. But of what use is knowledge if we never have a personal commitment and share it with others? Our goal this year is we're not going to have grandiose things, but we're going to reach 100,000 people for Jesus. We're going to find our neighborhoods where we live, and we're going to share Jesus right there to begin with. Hallelujah. And that's important. That's important. Their knowledge made them intellectually lazy. That's why they distanced themselves from Jesus. Secondly, I want to give you another reason why I believe they didn't make that 6-mile trek to see the Messiah, the babe of Bethlehem. Not only was their knowledge, did it make them lazy, but I believe, number two, their religion made them spiritually indifferent. Some of the most indifferent people I've met are religious people. Come on, church. Huh? Some of them are meaner than a junkyard dog. Hallelujah! And rip you to shreds. Okay, I got the wrong church today. I'll just keep going anyway. Answering Herod's question was like playing a game of Bible trivia, already knowing the answers in advance. But religion, even good religion, even Bible-based religion, can deaden the heart and mind. Pastors say, what? How can that happen? By saying, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm E-Free, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Lutheran, I'm Church of God. Well, I got one better for you. I'm Church of God in Christ. Yeah. The high priestly prayer, 17th chapter of John. Then my church would be one. Not ecumenical. No. Not agreeing with people that are not by the base. No. Oh God, unite your church. Don't let anything separate us from you. It's too easy for us to play by the rules of our respected churches. A great and yet still be a great distance from Jesus, as long as Jesus is just a theory rather than having a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, then our religion is making us spiritually indifferent. You see, I could ask you a question. I ask myself a question. What am I doing with Jesus? I love you, Papa. I'm just going to keep you to myself. We're going to keep you to our church. I'm telling you, I love you with all my heart, but I know you and I know me. We're too busy. Their religion made them spiritually indifferent. Their knowledge made them intellectually lazy. If these religious leaders in Jesus' name knew the truth, then why didn't they gut it up and go the 6 miles to see the babe in Bethlehem? The same reason you and I don't. We make excuses. The same thing. I'm tired. I can't do that. I beg to differ. We can do all things through Christ. Thirdly, not only did their knowledge make them intellectually lazy, and that kept them from Jesus, not only their religion made them spiritually indifferent, but thirdly, this is important, their background made them culturally arrogant. I'm somebody. I am nobody. If I'm somebody, it's only by the grace and mercy of God. I'm here today by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. I could be in skid row. I could be strung out. I could be dead by now. But it's only the mercy. I owe God something. You know what He wants from me? He wants my life. He wants my time. He wants, hey, listen, more than your money, He wants you. More than your marriage. And listen, that is so predominantly important. He wants you. Because once He's got, once He has you, your marriage is going to be better. This probably was one of the main reasons. Think about it. One day, some strangers show up in Westfield claiming to have seen a star in the east, which leads them to the baby, the King of the Jews. What a crazy story it would seem. Think about that. Think about that. And who were these guys anyway? Who sent them? Who sent them? Maybe you don't ask questions like that. I do. Where did they come from? What is it? What about this star? I didn't see it. And besides that, look at this. They're different. They dress different than we do. They're strangers. You see, it's always easy to discount people who aren't like us. Did you hear that? It is always easy to discount people who aren't like us. I almost had someone walk through the door dressed up as some bum, or had them come earlier. I've heard of other churches doing that and people walking right by them. But how about walking by the person who brings in $200,000 or $300,000 a year who needs Jesus? How about the one that we rub elbows with? Their background made them culturally arrogant. If we're not careful, our backgrounds can make us culturally arrogant too. It's always easy to discount people who aren't like us. They're not like us. They don't believe like us. They don't look like us. They don't smell like us. They're just not like us. But I tell you, they got a spot in this church. Just like they do at David Wilkinson's church. Just like the church that we visited in Times Square. They'll have the front seats. They used to save those front seats. You know who they saved them for? The prostitutes. They got the front seat in the house. Because you see, we categorize sin. Last I checked, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't want to be arrogant today about my culture. You see, the heart. The heart. The heart is the issue. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is, God, give me your heart. God, give new life your heart. And once we got your heart, we're not going to be arrogant. We're not going to be arrogant. We're not going to be culturally arrogant. We're going to be receiving people with love. Remember, these religious dedicated leaders were only a short distance from Jesus. Can I ask you a question? What distanced you from Jesus? Your job? Your second job? Your third job? What is it? Holy Spirit, would you please assist this preacher today and drop in my heart what it is that distanced me from you, and in the hearts of your people what distances us from you, and help us to deal with it today. Help us, Messiah. Help us, Yeshua. See, the heart is always the issue. See, I got to do this. I got to do that. And one day we're going to stand naked before Jesus. And He's going to say, yeah, you were busy. Yeah, you did this. Yeah, in and of themselves, it's not bad. But you weren't willing to make the 6-mile journey to get closer to me. Even in the middle of Christmas. Me. You thought it was about trees. You thought it was about ribbons. You thought it was about bows. You thought it was about gifts. You thought it was about Santa. You thought it was about candy. You thought it was about this. And you thought it was about that. But you missed me. I was so close, so close. I've been hearing your prayer. And I've been so close, but you've been pushing me away. You've been pushing me away. And you're distancing yourself from me. And I have a ministry for you that would blow you away. But you're distancing yourself from me. Matter of fact, you know what it is? It's a street term. You're ditzing me. I don't want to ditch Jesus. I don't want to ditch Him. Are you with me, church? You see, I'm not preaching at you. God is just downloading this in my own heart. In my own heart. If you and I will study Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to bring this to a close, I think there's several things, but there's some particular things that stand out to me. Everybody involved had some basic information. That's important. Everyone here has some basic information about the Messiah. They had basic, listen, the baby was born in Bethlehem. Herod knew that, did he not? And they tried to kill him. The scribes knew it, and they ignored him. The scribes. You see, it's possible to know a great deal and still miss the truth. I'm going to say that one more time. It is possible to know a great deal and still miss the truth. Are you with me? Don't you sleep on me right now. Don't you get tired on me right now. Don't. This is too important. C.S. Lewis wrote these words, and I respect C.S. Lewis. He said, look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you'll find him. And with him, everything else, throw away. Now, he didn't say throw away people. He didn't say, just sit on your gluteus maximus and do nothing. No. But get the crux of it. We can have everything, but if we don't have Jesus, we don't have anything. Don't let anything distance you from Jesus. Jesus stands at the end of life's road for all of us. And I'm here to tell you, church, and I'm telling myself, there can be no middle ground. No middle ground. The question is not how someone else responds to Jesus. You know what the question is? The question is, how does Wayne Hartsgrove respond to Jesus? Say, you're a preacher. It doesn't matter. How do I respond to Jesus when the pressure's up? How do I respond to Jesus when there's more month than there is money? How do I respond to Jesus when I'm preaching and all I see is empty seats? I know what it was a few years ago when God said, you've got to get over it, son. You've got to stop looking at nickel and noses. You've got to stop looking at finances of people. If you will put those in my hand, I will take care of it all. And I will bring them in from the north, the south, and the east and west. And I will build my church in the gates of hell. It won't be about Pastor Wayne. It'll be about King Jesus getting your priorities straight, son. And when I did that, I can't tell you that I didn't try to pick it up every once in a while. Have you ever laid some things down? You still tried to pick them up? But every time I tried to pick it up, it's just like I felt another hand saying, just trust me, son. Don't miss me. Oh, of all times, church, we can't miss him. We can't miss him. We can't afford to miss him. It's too late. The sands in the hourglass of God's prophecy and eschatology and future things, it's dwindling rapidly. The next great event is Jesus coming back for the church, and I refuse to be left alone with my home, my finances, and my 98 Mercedes. Somebody else can have it. The Antichrist could drive it for all I care. Hallelujah. He can even live in our spare bedroom if he wants. But he's not going to live in my heart. I said he's not going to live in my heart. He's not going to live in my heart. Are you hostile toward Jesus? The question is not, somebody else, how do we respond? Are you with Herod? Are you with the scribes? Are you with the wise men this Christmas season? Are you hostile toward Jesus? Listen to this. Are you religious toward Jesus? I want you to get this one too. This is my last zinger. Are you in church, but not in Christ? I have to stand before God someday. When I say that, I have to look at my own self. Are we in church and not in Christ? Oh, but Pastor, I'm busy. I'm busy in all the ministries of church. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Great. But rather than doing, that's wonderful. We must be before we do. God is jealous of us. He wants our time. I'm going to tip him every once in a while. I'll just tip him financially. I'll tip him with my time. I'll tip him with my church attendance. I'll just tip him. To appease him. Listen, Jesus isn't someone that you're trying to appease. He's the Son of God who loves us. I want you to stand with me, would you please? I'd have the worship team come. Are we coming to worship Him today? Jesus, make my heart a manger where the Christ child can be born. Jesus never turns away a heart that seeks Him. Can I tell you? Wise men sought Him then, and wise men still seek Him today. Still seek Him today. Don't let anything distance you from Jesus. Hey, listen. I'm not in the best shape, but I want to tell you what. I could do 6 miles. I'll be hot on your tail. You might be there before I am, but I'm going to be hot on your tail. I'll be huffing and puffing. And I need my wife to give me, you know, mouth to mouth. That she's the only one that can do that. But I'm telling you, we're too near our heavenly home. I'm not giving up. This church isn't giving up. We haven't met our quota, church. Oh, look at the crowd around here. Look at this. Yes, we just burned our death. This is just the time to begin. It's a time to begin, not to end. What is it? These altars are open. What is it? It's distancing you from Jesus. Is it a bad attitude? It is a pain in your body? What is it? What is it that's distancing you from Jesus? We're going to sing it. I want you to come. I want you to come right down here. Come from this section, this section, this section. If you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ, make it today. You say, but I know Him. I know the rosary beads. I know the Bible. I know all the Pentecostal terms. That's not going to get you to heaven. Hello? It's got to be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm Assemblies of God. I'm Pentecostal. Good for you. What are we doing with our faith?